Okay, welcome back. Hour number two. Lots going on during the intermissions. You wouldn't believe it sometimes. But we're here, and there's much ahead in this hour, and I'm really looking forward to it. Nurse Anne is back to join Erica and I again. We're going to hear from her in a few minutes. Lots to learn, as always. There is a crisis among nursing and professional medicine in America that has largely gone under the radar. But we're going to talk about that and other things as well. Are you there, young lady?
I'm here, Jeff.
How you been?
Oh, hanging in.
All right, here's a little fun for you. I lost my cell phone. Because you know I'm not a big cell freak, but I lost it. And I had worked hard today and rested for a few minutes and took it with me, and I couldn't find it. So I had to call my partner here, and she dialed it up, and I finally found it. Gad.
It's a good thing the ringer was on, because, you know, if...
See, I didn't even know how to turn them off, but anyway. It was... I have a sheepskin that I use for a heavy blanket in winter, and it was under the sheep, hiding. And I wouldn't have found it. It would have taken a long time. Anyway, that's what you get when you get burned out and tired. We had a program a couple weeks ago now, maybe a week and a half, about prions. This is a huge story. Talk about under the radar. Talk about hiding it. There are more and more diagnoses coming up now of people with CJD, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. Think mad cow. Right, just keep it simple. Think VCJD, CJD. It's Creutzfeldt-Jakob, and it's fatal. And there's no treatment for it whatsoever. More and more of the vaxxed are being diagnosed with Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. Now, it may not even traditionally be necessarily always Creutzfeldt-Jakob, but it's prions. And they are causing cell death in the brain. And every time a cell in the brain dies, there's a little gap left there. And if a whole bunch of them die, you've got a little hole in your brain, okay, like Swiss cheese. Now, just really simply, and I'm going to let Erica come in and tell us more about this, but the idea of prions is important. The spike protein, which everyone has if they've been injected, and most people have if they have just been around the injected, unfortunately, the spike is a very volatile and mobile protein. It goes from person to person without much trouble at all. And on the spike protein are seven different sequences, little areas, just call them little hot spots. And as the spike protein travels down the blood, for example, and it runs into a regular protein, of which there are God knows trillions in the body, it'll flip that protein and misfold it. And it becomes essentially a prion protein at that point. It's no longer able to do what it was designed to do. It is now misfolded. It is a prion protein. All right, so that's one source of prion proteins. But the body itself produces a multitude of prion proteins that are not dangerous. They are commonly found, especially in brain cells. We don't fully understand what these prions that are indigenous to the human body and the cells, what they do, we don't know. But we do know that if a spike protein goes into a cell, any prions that are in that cell, prion proteins, are going to be flipped into deadly, misfolded, prion brain-killing proteins. Get it? And they'll kill the cell that they're being hosted by, and that cell will die, and the wreckage will be carried away and swept up and vacuumed up by the body, at least hopefully. But it'll leave a hole, because the brain doesn't regenerate cells like the heart. So you have the potential, and we know that the prions are up there waiting. We also know that the spike protein loves neurology. And what better place to go for neurology than up the spinal column through the nerves and into the brain? So it goes in there and right into the cells and starts to flip natural innate prions into deadly cell-killing prions, and they kill their host cell, and we're off to the races. And what's really sad is that CJD and other types of diseases like that usually take 8, 9, 10 years to manifest and slowly kill the person. You can throw ALS in this basket as well if you want, just to keep it simpler. But the idea of mad cow disease is something you do not want to discount. That's another problem entirely, and that's in the meat. In my view, it's potentially in the dairy. It's everywhere. But what's happening with CJD diagnoses in humans is that we're seeing now more and more cases that don't take 8 to 10 years. They take 8 to 10 weeks in some cases. It's a turbo CJD. These things are like at speed of light comparatively if you're talking about normal timelines and progressions of CJD. So that's your issue. The spike goes into the brain, goes into the brain cells, finds the indigenous prions in there and flips them, turns them into cell killers, and you got problems. That's another reason that this spike protein is more than appropriately tagged as the most deadly thing mankind has ever created. There are so many ways it can cause hell and ultimately death to a living life form called human beings. Your turn.
Well, you summed it up very well. I'm impressed.
What did I say? I have no idea.
Yeah, so the classical prion protein, which everybody has, we're born with this. There's a normal shape to it. And I don't know if scientists have fully determined what its purpose is, because they've been able to genetically modify mice not to have this protein, and they seem to do okay with it. So it's yet to be determined what its actual use is. But when it misfolds, well, that's when you start to get this brain pathology that ultimately results in CJD, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. Which is different from some of the other neurodegenerative diseases that involve protein misfolding.
Yes.
This one leaves a hole, whereas the other ones tend to generate amyloid fibrils and tangles and just gum up the working machinery of neurons.
Yeah, it's like mortar in terms of working with bricks or tiles. It fills in,
right.
But it doesn't revert to the original pristine brain. It's still damaged badly. Now, we had a story, and there are a number of them after the first one, and it really caught my attention. It has to do with people, and you all know about the reports of people reporting how friends, relatives, loved ones, after taking the injections, are not the same people. Their personalities change. Their entire demeanor changes. They become often hostile, very intolerant of other people's views, et cetera, et cetera. Well, now we're seeing things that are getting worse. And these are not just a few cases. If you go out of your front door, take the dog for a walk, you got a block and you walk around the block, and you get lost and can't find your way home, does that set off a little alarm bell somewhere? It should. We're getting a lot of reports of people who get lost in their own neighborhoods. This is not good. Now, that's just suggestive. Remember, we got to go back to the beginning of this bioweapon, and it's prion proteins called spike. Going after prions. And if the spike goes into the brain and everybody who's taken these shots and begins to misfold prion proteins that are in the cells, and that begins to create CJD or whatever you want to call it, we have the potential here of short-term heart disaster, heart damage, myocarditis, heart death, shutting down the autonomic nervous system, the neurology to the heart is being blocked by the body's own immune system. The T lymphocytes will go in there going after the spike proteins and cause damage and block the neurology from sending the signal to beat to the heart, et cetera, and the heart just stops. So now we have something that, it's always been here, we've talked about this long ago, but it's now manifesting itself more front and center than it ever did before. People seem to be manifesting prion damage to the brain simply by being injected. That's plenty. And then you start to think, well, what about those who are being shed upon and they're getting spikes? Could those spikes go into the blood, into the brain, and start triggering indigenous prions to flip and start to destroy brain cells? The answer appears to be yes. And each one has a different time frame on it. They're all fused differently. Fused.
There's probably some variability on susceptibility, but it's a risk. It's a neurotoxin, and whether it goes after, you know, the native prion protein in the body or other proteins, the inflammation that ensues from having that spike present in the brain is almost unprecedented. It's
awful.
No matter what, having that degree of inflammation chronically on an ongoing basis is not going to be good for the brain. And what's showing up on some of these brain imaging scans, tests, is something akin to traumatic brain injury.
You got it. Nailed. That's it. Exactly. Now, you sent me, we want to get to Nurse Anne here as quick as we can, but we got to get through this very important material that's certainly an adjunct to what we've been talking about. You sent me some Turbo CJD readers. Go ahead with those, will you?
Okay.
These are really sad. Awfully sad. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we did this, the second one recently, so I'll do this first one.
Okay.
At 11:55 a.m. today, I lost my mom due to this horrible disease in which I watched her suffer immensely. I pray for a cure. I pray a cure is found so that other families don't have to watch the horrors associated with CJD. I am truly heartbroken. My mom just retired, and within 3 months from symptoms, or symptom onset, she passed away. June 29th, 1957 to December 6th, 2023. She was diagnosed November 17th, 2023.
We have a number of very interesting stories, many of which we've already shared, but we want to share them again. But probably we're going to hold this off till Wednesday. Memory loss, what I mentioned, people going out for a walk or a drive to the store and they can't find their way home. We're going to go through these again, but we have our special guest tonight. I would like to read this again, the second one, even though we did it, because it's pretty dramatic.
I'll just say, too, I don't think it's a coincidence that this is from Dr. William Mackus's Substack of January 7, where he republished a prediction for the global prion disease treatment market. It's expected to be up by 300% by 2028.
Wow.
What do they know?
That might be a conservative estimate. This is all coming at us very fast, all of it. All right. On December 9th, my dad was healthy. December 9th, this December 9th, a month and week and a half ago, whatever, 6 weeks. On December 9th, my dad was healthy and doing great. He went to church and to dinner with the family, as he always did. On the morning of December 10th, the next day, my mom found him unable to move or speak. He was taken to Lutheran Hospital and tested for everything possible, even sending fluids to Mayo Clinic for evaluation. All tests came back negative. The next day, he had a seizure and was moved to a neurological ICU. He remained there until today when we were told that all testing indicates a fast-acting neurological issue called Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. His is the spontaneous type, meaning they don't know why it happens or if it's genetic, but it is not something he contracted, and it's a change in the brain prion protein. It's misfolded, as we've been telling you. It is rare and 100% fatal. Today we moved him to hospice. We have spent the last days processing and letting extended family know. Now we are making him comfortable and enjoying our last moments. Thank you, friends, for the love, prayers, and support. They are felt. So December 9th, and he's in hospice now. If he's still alive, I don't know. But this is what we call Turbo CJD. And it's out there. And these people who are having memory loss to the extent that they cannot find their way home. Oh, all right. We'll talk more about this on Wednesday. Anything to add, and then we'll bring Nurse Ann on here.
No, let's bring on Nurse Ann.
All right. Nurse Ann has been a top-flight, world-class professional nurse. She does it all. She's worked in major hospitals in New York. She is as informed as any nurse we have ever met, and she's been on the program many times and has shared things that has certainly enlightened and helped all of us better understand the horrors that are facing us right now. Are you there, Nurse Ann? Can you hear us?
Yeah, I am. How are you?
Good.
Hi.
Happy
Good
New
to
Year
back.
To you both.
I don't know if we
back.
Can tag a happy on it, but thank you for that. It's very kind of you, and it's bad out there. So you are a so-called travel nurse, or you're a contract nurse, and you've been working under contract to various large hospitals with over 500 beds in them, and you watch it all happening. What we've talked about in the first part of the program, the potential that the spike protein, whether injected or picked up through shedding, will find its way to the brain, it loves to go to the brain, and begin to misfold indigenous prion proteins, and the brain at that point begins to die. What do you know about it? Are you seeing cases like this kind of thing? What kind of neurological things, memory loss and all that, were you coming across in the last hospital you were affiliated with? Tell us.
Well, from what I can remember of the last few cases that I had seen, in regards to the prions and the abnormal proteins and amyloids, what the hospital ends up doing, they're not calling it prion disease. Is what they're saying is they're diagnosing patients as having a neurodegenerative disease, such as Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. So they're even if they know that it potentially could be prion, they're not actually labeling it that.
Interesting.
I have yet to see somebody actually, because I think it would set panic into the community if people actually heard that they were getting diagnosed with prion disease and actually been labeled as having that. I think it would send a lot of panic. Like, I know there's people who listen to your program, but they listen to the nurses who are well-informed and basically trying to caution them into taking the vaccines. But for the people who have already taken it, this would be the kiss of death to hear something labeled like this, because you know the patient, if they're with it, they'll research it. If they aren't with it, the family will research it, and it will send utter panic into the community.
So there.
So as it is,
can
as
we
it
use
is
the
right
term? And can we use the term cover up at this point? Would you suggest that that's part of the process? Have they been told not to go there, not to start talking about CJD diagnoses everywhere and relabel it? These are semantic games, it seems like they're playing at the very least. What do you think?
I think they're covering it up, also, I'm giving too much credit to the physicians. I mean, let's be honest, the physicians went along with this crusade of having patients vaccinated to the max. So I'm giving the physicians way too much credit to actually even being knowledgeable about it. I think, to be honest, Erica is more knowledgeable about it than any researcher or a physician I've come across yet.
And, I will second that. I've said that before. She is, in my view, I arguably the most well-informed in terms of the whole panorama of this crisis as anyone in the world, if not more so. She's extraordinary.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. But could I conclude? Could I actually say conclusively that they're covering it up? I don't know, because at this point I don't know what the doctors don't know, because they went along with this, and you know they forced the vaccines on a lot of people,
yeah,
not just the physicians, the companies forced it on their workers, the airline forced it on their pilots and their crews, and
yeah.
And so I mean, every pick any field you want, they all went along with it, and they try to force it on their workers. And in the medical field, I think that the physicians, there would have been a lot of physicians, I would say the neurological physicians, the people who were in that field, would certainly have started to question that there was changes happening, and they were starting to see more and more complications of patients who were young coming in and acting strangely, and people, their family saying that this wasn't the same person that they knew, and that they're forgetful and they're not taking care of themselves, and they were labeling it as such as early onset Alzheimer's. So,
and these are younger people.
Get out of jail. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would have said as early as 40, 50, 60.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I have a sense. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I would be very, very, I was always very shocked when I would hear early onset Alzheimer's on a patient who's only in their 40s.
I would agree. I personally, back to the issue of mandating and forcing vaccines through intimidation or threat, I think that everybody who was involved with giving these vaccines and still is at least, in my view, I'm not speaking for anyone else, an accessory to murder, manslaughter, whatever you want to call it. These people, many of them, know damn well that these shots are extremely dangerous at the very least, and yet they actively participate. No problem. People sell out for money and do anything. Anyhow, okay. Erica, anything you want to
No, I agree, especially this far along.
Yeah. Oh,
you really got to have your head in the sand if you're still promoting or defending these things.
And unfortunately, I came from home, and I've been there for over a month, and there's a couple of things that I have noticed. My aging mother, who was 90 in August, I begged her not to take the vaccines, but against all my protests, the local GP, they call them, the general practitioner over in our country, went ahead and insisted she have it. She's had multiple vaccines, multiple, between the COVID vaccines and the flu vaccines. So I had seen her in August, and then she was doing pretty good. But I went home and I saw her over the last month, and she's gotten much skinnier. She's very, she gets very angry really quickly. Like, she was kind of ornery in the beginning because she's in so much pain, but she's even more angry now. She's extremely forgetful. And like a lot of people would have said, she was as sharp as a tack. Like, she had all her faculties about her. She knew the ins and outs. And there's a huge breakdown in the medical system in both continents, both countries, between the U.S. and where I'm from. And the problem is the lack of education to the people is huge. Like, they're sending them home to take, my mom takes like 30 different medications. And she is so deathly sick from them, she can't take all of them. So she picks and chooses which ones she takes. But even worse than that is the system sends her home with these pile of medications, and they're in these boxes labeled for the week of what she's supposed to take. And the problem is she doesn't know which medication is which. And I come in, and I'm looking at these medications, and I'm looking, I don't know which ones are which, because how do you know from just looking at a pill? So I had to decide, had to basically say, there's got to be something else. They can't be just sending you these 30 different pills to take and expect you to take them, and you don't even know what you're taking. So, but I can translate that to over here, too. They're doing the same thing over here. They're making people, they're sending, they have the people in the hospital, they're on numerous medications when they come into the hospital. Their medication records are always switched around. The patients always get upset because they're like, I don't take this pill. Why are you giving it to me now? And so there's that issue. And then we have the issue where they're being sent home and there's a huge lack of education about the medication they're taking. And there's a huge lack of follow-up as well from the point of discharge. There should be nurses going out to the home. Now, thankfully, within my country, they're doing that. They're actually sending them to the home after they get discharged from the hospital. But it's never, not always done here. And so there's a safety issue. So there's such a breakdown that it complicates patients' lives to begin with. They're already battling with the illness. Then they're battling with the level of medications they have to take. And then they have to have the knowledge to know what it is they're taking. And if they don't have somebody who's competent enough to take care of them in the home, then they're going to run into problems where they could potentially be taking too many anticoagulation medications all at once, or something even worse than that that could cause them to bleed to death.
Absolutely. And how many people, like you just said, are being monitored by a visiting nurse or some kind of at least a Zoom call where they can talk to people and their advocates will be with them to ask questions about the medications? How many times are they augmented or balanced or rebalanced? I bet it doesn't happen hardly at all, very rarely. And many of you listening all around the world are facing the same problems with your loved ones and maybe yourselves, dealing with all these meds they throw at you. Good point.
And then throw in the added complication, which is to your point of what you were talking about tonight, which is potentially they have prion disease that's getting labeled as Alzheimer's, and now you have an even more devastating diagnosis than you started out with to begin with.
Yes.
And it's kind of a very disappointing to know how it's a disappointing. And I said it today to some a colleague of mine that we're talking to, and I said I'm embarrassed to say I'm even part of the medical profession. Where I started and where we've come.
Well, as you told us once long ago, when you decided to become a nurse, the idea was to help people overcome illness, accident, get well, and go home. And you can't do that very often anymore.
No, I can't. I actually can't do it at all, actually, because they're already so severely damaged by the time I see them now that I can't actually do. I can't even make a difference. Even if I wanted to, it's too late. It's too late for a lot of people.
Nurse Ann, when people present at the hospital, or they come in by ambulance, or they're driven in by family, friends, and so forth, and they're suffering, obviously, vax injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Are you seeing any of them, all the medications and so forth notwithstanding, are any of them getting better and returning to a better quality of life after they've been vax injured?
No, they're not. Once they're injured, they're injured. I mean, when I get them to the level of where I'm at in my field, they're pretty severely injured. And usually what ends up happening is there's three courses of action when once they weak, stabilize them and get them to a place where they could actually potentially go somewhere else. They're either going to a long-term rehab or a subacute unit, or they're going to some form of a nursing home, or they're going home with nursing care. And that's assuming that they have other family members that are there to take care of them when the nurse isn't. Because let's not delude ourselves here. You do not get nursing care 24/7. So no. The insurance companies have made sure that that will never happen. So anyone that's listening tonight and thinks that when your family goes into the hospital and they'll tell you they'll send you home with nursing care, don't think for a second that that nurse is going to be there 24/7, because they won't. And then your family member is on their own for the majority of the time. My mother gets a slotted 2 hours three times a week.
That's it? Wow.
That's
right.
It.
Back to what you said earlier, that a lot of diagnoses now of Parkinson's, ALS, all sorts of neurological brain impairing diseases are now being tossed around. This seems to be a trend. And Erica was researching long haulers from about 2020, 2021. People who were stricken with the virus, which, remember, the virus is a bioweapon in and of itself. It's not just the vax. It's the so-called virus, too. So they were hit with this bioweapon, and they were injured, and they came down with what they call long-haul COVID virus sufferers. What did you find out about that, Erica, that the early long-haulers and what their ultimate fate seems to be, where they're heading?
Well, this is the group of people that had the virus early on, before there was any vaccine, and for whatever reason, they were not able to get over it. They had lingering symptoms, lingering fatigue, many cases of clotting. And then, as time went on, this brain fog that never seemed to lift, and in some cases got progressively worse, and in some cases went on to include a form of a wasting disease.
Hmm. Protein wasting?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen it with my own mother, actually. She's basically all she is a shell of a person. She's just bone, skin and bone. But there are added complications to her case now, because I will say it on the air, but my mom was diagnosed with lung cancer in December. So we have now an added complication to all of this,
it's almost a foregone conclusion in people who are severely vaxxed or severely even hit with this bioweapon virus and its variants and subvariants. Look, we have two horrific things that have been turned loose on humankind. We have the so-called COVID virus and the so-called COVID vaccine, both bioweapons, both targeting the heart, the lungs and all major body organs, the blood, the immune system. I'm going to add the digestive tract now. Bacteriologically speaking, this is a big story, and Eric has been looking at this very closely. The entire neurology of the body and the brain. How can you even postulate there's going to be a resolution for this, a satisfactory, happy ending, so to speak? The heart, the lungs, the blood, the immune system, the digestive tract, the entire neurology and the brain, all targeted for destruction by the spike protein and friends. This is insane. How could you mistake what they have done to us? How can anyone mistake it? You can't, if you're open-minded at all.
Well, Jeff, I remember I was sitting in at home, and you know, where I was listening to the show while I was at home, and my sister went and she pulled up prion disease, because she's not medical, you know, she's right. Curious, but she's not a medical personnel, and she's scrolling down this about the disease, and it's in Wikipedia, of all things, and it actually talks about weaponization, and it talked about the prions being a weaponized agent, that they had had employed it theoretically as a weaponized agent, and with 100% fatality. And it would have been an effective bioweapon because they viewed it as a difficult aspect, as they said, for detection and decontamination. So if everything that we talk about on this show is, comes to be what we say and believe it to be, which I, at this point I can't disagree anymore. Because of what I saw in the hospitals and what I've seen families go through, and now what I see my own family going through. And now I have to do the same walk. I know you, Donald Jeffries was on earlier. I remember him talking about his brother and how the struggles he had with his own family and when he lost his brother. And I can totally relate because I tried so hard to educate and make people aware. I tried for my own family, and people fell out over this whole thing. And it was one of the most ruthless designed bioweapon that was ever made to take out the human race.
Well, you've summed it up perfectly. The best people who have been victimized by either the injection or the virus itself. And you don't want to get this virus, friends. That's why we urge you, please be careful when you're out. The best thing you can do is maybe achieve some minimal, marginal, symptomatic improvement in some areas. That's about the best we can hope for. Once you've got this stuff, you're in big trouble. That's and I do not like to talk like this. It's not who I am. But you just heard Nurse Ann sum it up. It's exactly that. They've done it. And that's why they don't care now. They, you know who they are. That's why they don't care if the truth gets out. They're using it. Some of the top-tiered social media-oriented alt-news types are pushing out truth now because the controllers don't care. First of all, they know that the public is so damn confused, they don't know what to do. And let them go ahead and put out the truth. It doesn't matter. It's game, set, and match. They've injected 13 billion of these shots in people. 600 million plus in the U.S. Erica?
Yep. Yeah, I know. So now we just wait to see what the fallout is.
Right. What are you going to do, Nurse Ann, what are your thoughts? You sounds like you're struggling with going back into the trenches and seeing this absolute horror as a professional. And the pay is very good. We get that. All contract nurses are getting paid very well. My God, they should be for what they have to go through. But the overall quality of nursing in the U.S., in Western Europe, whatever, what are we seeing? When you went home, were you seeing third world people being brought in there? Like they are here.
I'm glad you mentioned that, actually. Yeah. Good luck trying to find nurses who were born, raised, and trained in Ireland or England, for that matter, right now. They're all immigrating. They're training all of their nurses, and they're leaving. They're going elsewhere. And their replacements are coming from every other country. You name a country, we have it.
And the overall level of competence, how competent are they?
Well, the problem is there's a huge language barrier. I mean, they do speak English. Their English is rather broken, though. And they come to a country like my country, and of course, it's a very heavy accent. And so there's a struggle there. So there's that part of it. And then the training is very, very different. In the English speaking countries, you would actually have to work really, really hard to earn your degree. You get weeded out very quickly if you cannot hold your own. Nursing is not for the faint-hearted. The nursing program I went through was grueling, and they weeded out over half my class in the first year.
Wow.
So, in Ireland, it's the number is even higher than that. So that's what I'm saying, is that they're training their best only to lose them, and they're getting getting the replacements. But I hate to break it to you, the same is happening here too. Like their nurses are getting trained, and then they're going somewhere else. They're not staying where they trained, and they're not staying where they near their families. They're leaving. I would have argued, yeah, the money might have been an incentive, but apparently that has drastically come down in the last year or so. So that's even becoming less of an enticement now. So what we're really finding is you're losing all the skilled labor, all the nurses. I said it once on the show, who were getting close to retirement, or were possibly thinking about reinventing themselves, or leaving the profession and trying to do that. And the other kicker is the students who went and took out the loans to train to become a nurse and end up leaving the profession probably within under a year because they dislike it so much, and they're left with all those student loans as well.
Got it.
So you have a very bad situation happening, and it's all over the world.
And the people coming,
countries.
The nurses being brought in here from second and third world countries obviously come from programs. It's pretty clear they don't have the standards that ours do. They're coming in here with maybe half the skills and broken English on top of that. So going into a hospital, to me, is off limits. I just wouldn't go. I can't imagine volunteering to go to a hospital. And I know if you're in a car crash, you've got no option. They'll just take you there. And that happened to me once, and I woke up many hours later. It was just odd. Not good.
It's a scary prospect because when I was coming up the ranks, the older nurses would have eaten you up and spit you out because you had to be on your A game. That was the thing. Like, especially if you're in the high critical acute areas, you really did have to know your stuff because the doctors were equally as dogmatic with you when it came to knowing your job. So, and that's all changed too. I mean, it's not just the nurses, the doctors too. I mean, it's incredible how it's just the whole system is flipped upside down. And but I am finding that they're not trained as well, and they're not trained in how to draw blood work very well or how to start IVs very well. One of the key things is that they're struggling with trying to read the cardiac telemetry monitors. That has been a huge problem. And that was the case in the hospital where I worked before I just finished, actually.
Yeah.
So for the nurses who are trained and all and well capable of doing all of these things, they have to burden they have a lot of burden on their shoulders because of that, because now they're carrying the weight of their patients as well as the
and
level of
staff.
The patients. Exactly.
I got it.
Yes, and it is a problem. It's a huge problem. So,
wow.
I do fear for the people because I do not know how they're going to cope if they have a true emergency and they're forced to go to the hospital. All I can say is I hope and pray that you can get someone who knows exactly what they're doing.
Last question for you. The idea of getting a blood or plasma transfusion now in a hospital. Talk about playing Russian roulette with all six chambers full of bullets. That's about what it is. If you're going in and they're going to transfuse you, you're in big trouble right there.
Yeah.
Just for openers.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you know about the blood? Yeah. They're not screening for what they should screen for. I'll just leave it at that. Go ahead, Ann.
No. The only thing they'll screen the blood for is like for any kind of like potential for HIV AIDS or something like that. Yeah.
Right.
All right. It'll be something like that. They won't do the screening for any kind of like misfolded proteins or any of that.
No.
Good luck. You're
Spike?
Not going to.
No.
That's
no.
Not, no.
None
nothing.
Of it. No.
None of it.
Won't. So the
and the
blood
problem
supply
is you're at a catch 22 because if you are
yes.
in a car accident and you lose a lot of blood, you're probably going to be faced with that as a scenario where you'll have to get the blood. Now there are other groups of people who come in and will flat out refuse to get the blood transfusions, but it may be to your own detriment.
Understood.
But it really is a Russian roulette game. That's what it, this one. This is a very we live in very very dangerous times now.
All right. That's a wonderful update. Thank you for that. We only have just a minute or two left. Is there anything that you didn't get to that you wanted to that we need to mention to our listeners out there? Any advice?
Well, what I was seeing prior to my leaving or before I left the hospital was that there's still categorizing people who come in with confusion and not, you know, their forgetfulness as potential stroke patients. And if you recall, I talked an awful lot about that before I left, and now I start to think, you know, they might have missed the boat on a lot of stuff. It may not truly be strokes as such or CVAs. It might be more likely something related to what our topic of discussion is tonight. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And thank you so much. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're so welcome. And I just wanted to just make people aware that just try to be more cautious and careful. And I would, for their own sake, try not to take any more vaccines. That is my advice.
I there's no career. There's no job. There's no nothing is worth taking any of those shots. Nothing is worth it unless you want to die. Then go ahead, have at it.
Well,
all right.
Well, it came home to roost in my family personally. So
yes.
So as much as I tried to educate, it still ended up coming on my own doorstep, so to speak.
Well,
so all I can say is
about that.
Just protect yourself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Erica?
Yeah, thank you, Ann. It's good to have you back, and really sorry to hear about your mother. It's going to be very difficult.
Yes, I do appreciate the chance to at least talk about it, because I know we had talked on the show, too, about the explosion of different cancers and things like that.
Yes.
So it's all seeming to come into play. It's playing out exactly as you've talked for the last nearly three years now.
We're starting our fourth year and a couple weeks.
Starting fourth
less.
Year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So people be aware. We've done our best, and you've made a major contribution. So we look forward to talking to you again, and keep us posted as to how you're doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you again.
Okay.
And again, I hope this will be somewhat of a happy year, but I'm not sure. We'll see how it goes.
The question.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Well, she's a treasure of experience, knowledge, wisdom, and reality. And very sad about her family, but many of you listening are having the same thing. There's grief everywhere. Grief everywhere. And it is just horrific what they have done to us. And it is exactly that.
I agree. I've never seen so many sick people as I have now.
No, and I went into a bank today and a store, and there were five people near me, 15 feet, 20 feet, and two of the five were coughing right there.
Yeah, that's common now.
The COVID cough, it's everywhere. And we again urge you to seriously consider an N95 mask when you go into any retail outlet or office, whatever it may be, and you're going to be in a room with improper air ventilation, no purity, and people who are sick. So these are unprecedented times, never before in history have we seen anything like this. All right, well, it's great to hear from Anne, and we will be back Wednesday, and we'll talk more about this memory issue. It's a big one. Thank you. Great job, as
okay.
always.
Likewise, Jeff. Thank you. Okay. Good night, everyone.
And we will be back with Hour 3 in just a few minutes. Hold on. Really?